Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's The Other Podcast, and I'm your host, Robert Stacy McCain.
And I'm not. Hello, folks. It's John Hoke here, the other guy on The Other Podcast, and live and direct from exotic Valdosta, Georgia. How you doing, Diana?
I'm great. We have had the most wonderful thunderstorms all day long.
I love thunderstorms. But I lived in Kansas for a decade, 1 year. It was the most stuff I've had.
You lived there for a decade, 1 year. Pretty boring there, huh?
Chanute, Kansas is halfway between Joplin and Wichita, and halfway between Tulsa and Kansas City. So it isn't
truly the middle of nowhere.
No, but you can see it about 4 blocks away.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a lot of excitement.
It was rural enough that it was one of the places that back when they had Titan missile silos, they were in the neighborhood.
Silos. Yes. Well, you know, things have been kind of exciting in New York lately.
Well, yes. Oh. So we could start with our crime story number one. And I guess the best way to start this off is with a tweet that I republished under the heading, well, that didn't age well. It was from Nancy Pelosi back in 2015. And she said, too many women are sexually assaulted while in college. Joined New York Governor Cuomo to discuss why. Enough is enough. That didn't age well. But yeah. Then again, Cuomo apparently is no longer viewed as an asset by the inner party. So it's going to be interesting to watch him be disposed of.
Yeah, I think we can see the fingerprints of Team Clinton. On this one, you know, it's I don't know, but
well, you know, I'm not sure that it's not Team Obama.
I'm not sure which team it is.
Well, I think it may be both. I think it may be both of them allied against Cuomo.
A common enemy.
Yeah, you know, it's like Churchill and Stalin shooting at Hitler.
Okay.
Well, you know, thinking about it, though, I was reading, I don't remember, I think it may have been Town Hall. They remarked that they'd had enough of outsiders. The Democrats simply have had enough of outsiders. They had enough with Clinton. So that makes me think it's not the Clintons. My thought is it's the Washington, D.C. inner party that's getting rid of Cuomo.
It is, and but to a certain extent, the Clintons adopted certain alliances with people in that, you know, the Lanny Davis crowd. So what they don't want to have is to bring somebody else inside the tent again, and that's what they're worried about.
I don't know. I seem to recall that there was some bad blood between Bill Clinton back in the day, between Bill Clinton and Mario Cuomo, and I don't remember exactly what that was about. But I'm getting these synapses firing of deeply embedded memories.
I worked in one of my professional past lives with someone who had been an investment banker in New York, who was, shall I say, allied with the form of the Democratic Party that would be allied with investment bankers. basically, he talked about their great distrust for Clinton because of some of the things he pulled off in terms of state bond issues and that sort of stuff. And so Clinton was a real finger in the Democratic establishment's eye. Of course, they co-opted him to a great extent, but you know he was the as far as that they were concerned, he was the wrong guy to get that nomination, and they're afraid of somebody like Cuomo now.
Well, you know, if you think back to it, after the debacle of Dukakis in 1988. And then the surge of patriotic support for the first President Bush at the time of Operation Desert Storm, right? In 91, in early 91, at the time that, they were sort of getting the 92 field together, a lot of people who might have considered a run at the White House for the Democrats kind of looked at the numbers. And you remember Bush's poll numbers were sky high in 1991. And so they said, nah, we'll take a pass. And I think Mario Cuomo may have been one of those guys that said, yeah, we're not going to make a run this time. And then Clinton drew the short straw, but actually won because of, a combination of economics and that little dwarf bastard. Was his name?
Well, not only
Ross Perot. Thank you.
Well, not only that, but let's remember
his ears.
Let's remember that Let's remember that Prescott Bush, Daddy Bush's daddy, was a partner of Averell Harriman. And you know what? I think, Diana, you need to pop out and come back in. We're having a synchronization problem again.
Well, speaking of Averell Harriman.
Yes.
Yeah, see, because we're going to go down memory lane here into the deep bowels of history.
Uh-huh.
Averell Harriman seduced the wife of Randolph Churchill, who was Winston Churchill's sort of wastrel son. So Averell Harriman married, what's his name? Randolph Churchill's ex-wife, Pamela. Mm-hmm. And Pamela Harrington, Pamela, help me here. Harriman,
yes,
Averell Harriman's wife, became a doyen of D.C. society during the days of Camelot and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so your mention of Averell Harriman as a partner. So this elite clique of influence there near the top of the, the 1%. They're all in it together. By the way, they're partying this weekend up in Obama's house, aren't they?
Yes,
they are. Yeah, having a super spreader. Yep. Am I getting ahead of the story?
Well, no, we can wander back and forth, I think.
Okay.
But basically, your whole pitch this week was that...
Guilty. Folks, if you remember the old Doonesbury cartoon strip? There was a famous panel where they had issued a report on Nixon's attorney general. This was during Watergate. They had issued a report on Nixon's attorney general, John Mitchell.
And Mark, the NPR DAG.
Megaphone Mark, who was the radio host on...
NPR DJ.
Later became NPR DJ. But anyways, he gets on there and says, well, I'd hate to judge the man in advance, but, guilty. So I dusted that one off for the headline out of Breitbart News. New York AG, Cuomo sexually harassed current and former state employees, violated federal and state laws.
Well, speaking of laws, one of the laws is when Diana pops back in, I'm going to take notice of her. And there she is.
Hey. Okay. Glad you're back with us, Diana. And sorry about you.
I'm still annoyed that I missed getting to talk about Pamela Harriman. Onward.
We'll talk about Pamela Harriman.
Okay. What do you want to say about Pamela Harriman? Okay.
Pamela Harriman ended up weirdly hosting, being pretty much the social sponsor of all people, Svetlana Aleluyeva.
Who?
Stalin's daughter. When she defected.
Yeah.
It's a weird story. The whole thing just, there's this weird sort of everything I know about Washington politics and elites all ties back to this clique of women and their weird decisions about who to promote and who to ignore. It's so strange. Anyway, go on.
Okay. Well, speaking of women.
Well, yes, but I mean, that crowd is the sort of sort that I would reply, and if you were my wife, I would drink it.
Well, anyways, the governor of New York is a criminal, according to the state attorney general, Letitia James, who is a Democrat, who announced on Tuesday that Governor Andrew Cuomo had sexually harassed students. Current and former state employees violating both federal and state laws as determined by the months-long investigation. Now, if you saw that press conference, you know,
she was standing there smiling with a dagger in her hand.
Yeah. Yeah. The probe included interviews with 179 people and over 74,000 pieces of evidence. Quote, these interviews and pieces of evidence revealed a deeply disturbing yet clear picture. Governor Cuomo sexually harassed current and former state employees, violating federal and state laws. The independent investigation found that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, many of whom were young women. I don't think that matters, but she said the harassment included unwanted groping, kisses, hugging, and by making inappropriate comments. Now, some of the specific cases here that have been talked about, it's creepy. Okay, I mean, if it's true,
alleged,
right? The alleged Governor Gropo, and they said that staffers did not feel comfortable coming forward with complaints about sexual harassment due to a climate of fear. End quote. And my reaction to that was, you want to talk about a climate of fear? He killed thousands of grannies. So while I feel sorry for the government employees Cuomo groped, they should be grateful that at least he didn't send them to die alone in disease-infested nursing homes.
Al Capone went to jail for tax evasion.
Yeah. Well, anyways, everyone has gone through the ritual of calling for his resignation, but of course he is defiant and is going to hang tough, and we'll see if the legislature will impeach him. A lot of people have doubts about whether this is going to go.
Well,
Governor Blackface in Virginia.
Well, yep. It's, you see, there's a difference between Cuomo and Northam.
30 years.
There's a difference in how they're perceived nationally. People would think of Cuomo, for the most part, as being a member of what is properly called the inner party. And he is in a nominal sense, but in another sense, he's not really a member of the inner party. He's a member of the apparent inner party. His problem then becomes whether or not he's a threat to the real inner party, and he is viewed as one. Don Serber had a post up.
Excuse me. The dogs have just become alarmed. Let me go.
Why
check.
Don't you go kill the dogs while I talk about this?
The thing about that kills me every single time is that my dog is. My 70-pound English setter is lying on his bed at my feet, making no noise whatsoever.
Well, I tried fading the mics down and it's not really helping. Oh. Well, look at this one. Not only that, you're are you getting any red flashes on the level indicator on your interface?
I'm as green as green can be.
Well, I think we got a sync problem again. So why don't you pop out and pop back in?
Oh, okay. My goodness.
Again. Bye.
Between the dogs and the technical issues, this has been a great one, hasn't it?
Yeah. Can you just kill them or something? I mean,
happened was is that a small child wandered down the street and therefore, whatever.
Okay. I guess I'll work the mic a little closer and be able to pull the level down so that they're
not so loud. Well,
anyway, I was talking about Don Serber had a post up about Cuomo's problem, and it's not sexual harassment. He's a threat to the rest of the party if he runs for president. We were talking about this with Clinton. Democrats in Washington want no more part of playing second fiddle to an outsider. So that's what's going on. And, you know, if you think about who we've had as successful presidents, Diana is back. How is your level?
I'm green.
You sound great now.
Okay. You sound great. I bounced my connection. I'm back.
Okay. That's good.
I have no idea.
I don't either. But anyway, the last successful president who was a Democrat, who was a governor, was FDR. Okay. Truman was a senator before he was vice president. Kennedy, senator. Johnson, senator. Then we had Jimmy Carter. I don't think so. And then we had an unsuccessful gubernatorial candidate in the form of Dukakis. Then they had Clinton that they had to put up with because he was quasi-successful. But almost, you know, everybody they've run who has since Carter and Dukakis and Clinton has been a senator. Al Gore was a senator. You know, Obama, senator. Senator Biden. So, you know, it's the Washington establishment. And, you know, it was interesting that Obama managed as quickly as he did to ingratiate himself with the Washington establishment. But part of that had to do with the fact that of his alliance with old-timer Biden. So, they don't want another governor running because the deep state doesn't, and I don't just mean the bureaucratic deep state, but I also mean the elected deep state, can't control these outsiders. That's one of the reasons why they were so terrified of Trump. So, you know, Cuomo's power base is outside Washington, and, you know, the Washington inner party is just not going to have it.
Okay.
So there we go. Meanwhile, that doesn't mean that the things espoused by the inner party and actually believed by the outer party and that the outer party uses to live their lives, you know, some of the nonsense that's part of the narrative winds up still driving people's lives. And Stacey, you had a point, you had a post, what, a day or so ago about empowerment.
Yeah, one of the problems I had when writing about feminism, one of the first things.
Folks, you should go get his book. It's still available on Amazon.
Yeah. What happened is that everyone has their opinion about feminism, okay? And their opinion is all they need to know about feminism. So where I was trying to, and I spent months, digging down and assembling this vast library of feminist books and stuff. And I dug as deep into this as you could in order to say, well, what is feminism actually? And nobody wants to hear it because in their minds, they have their idea of what feminism is. Now, one of the things that that confuses people about feminism is that so many people have been confused by the use of feminism, inside quote marks, as a marketing slogan and a pop culture theme that has very little to do with what feminism actually is. One species of pop culture feminism is the sort of empowerment rhetoric that borrows heavily from self-help psychology with a bit of watered-down Buddhism and positive thinking added into the mix. Okay, and it ends up being a lot of Hallmark greeting card platitudes, right? And if you've paid any attention at all to what is on social media from these twits, they have all these memes, these little slogans and sayings that it sounds like it comes out of an Alcoholics Anonymous.
Actually, meeting. None of this stuff would fly at an AA meeting.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm seriously. Well, a few of them might.
Here are some phrases.
Some things about, I just needed to focus on me. Well, yell at people in recovery, people who are really in a 12-step program of recovery really need to do some things like that. But most of this is the sort of crap you hear about people who aren't serious about working a program.
What made you who you are today? It was part of my journey. Internalized trauma. Life is too short to live with regrets. You trusted a woman's intuition. It helped me get in touch with who I am. It was exactly what you needed at that moment. I just needed to focus on me. You can't live your life for the approval of others. In life, there are no wrong turns, only unexpected paths. I need to trust the process. And all of these platitudes come up in a YouTube video by the comedian, what's his name? Ryan. I can't call his name. But Ryan anyway... Reynolds. Hang on a second. I'll pop it up and tell you. Okay. Hang on a second. We may have some unwanted audio. Ryan Long is the comedian that we're talking about.
It's a couple of guys in drag wearing orange jumpsuits in jail.
You're right. And they sit around and they talk about the murders they committed and shanking Tina in the cafeteria and so on and so forth. And they use all these platitudes and the title of the video is When Girls Can Rationalize Anything.
Boy.
And I later returned to that theme today with my Violence Against Women update.
Yeah, but we'll get to that toward the end of the show.
Okay. He's promised. I know that Diana loved my Violence Against Women update.
Yeah. But basically, we started off with Crime Story 1. Now we're into cliches. And speaking of cliches, there's some things that just get repeated in a silly way on Twitter. But there's a Twitter. But there's some things that just got to be bots. I saw this thing, and I put it up because these seem so similar. It's a whole bunch of things that apparently are posts by bots trying to be doctors. And they all, multiple of them exactly say the same thing. Mm-hmm. It happened. Just tested positive for COVID. Spent all pandemic being cautious. Got swabbed often. Got two doses of Pfizer vaccine as soon as I had a chance. Continued to mask afterwards. Wear PPE with each patient encounter. And still it happened. And I'm so effing tired, and it's just multiple instances of the same thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
What's going on, by the way, and I saw someone who actually analyzed it. What's happening is that some of the people that are doing this, okay, repeating this, it starts out with one actual person. Okay, I'm an ER physician and blah, 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 this happened.
It'd be one thing if you retweeted it, but you're just copying, cutting
and what is happening, John, is that people who are anti-vaccine, apparently, or otherwise just trying to cause mischief, are retweeting this to make it to confuse people about whether this is actually an original message. It's a chaff. It's a type of disinformation campaign. And I don't know, you know, who all's involved with it, but some of these people have like MAGA profiles and stuff like this. So what is going on with these people cloning these messages is a little bit of dirty tricks, apparently.
Well, there's some of that, but there's also some of it actually being done by bots. Because I've actually run the thing and on some of these, and like guys with one follower or three followers, right, or no followers, that's a bot.
Yeah, and so it's chaff, and so. We don't know the motives of everyone involved. We don't know the identities of those involved.
Right. But the point is, either way, this is also the kind of tactic, though, that I've seen by people, you know, trying to promote
AstroTurf, yeah.
Both ways. And it's just, you know, it's one of the reasons why I use Twitter to promote my blog posts, and I occasionally engage with friends on Twitter, but you know, I'm not getting sucked into anything like this. Meanwhile, though, let's move on to crime story two of the evening.
Okay. Oh, well, I will get there shortly.
The Supreme Court has made its decision. Well, I'll let them enforce it. And that is Andrew Jackson about the Supreme Court upholding a Georgia state law saying that white folks were supposed to stay off Cherokee reservations unless invited on. And, you know, Biden is taking the Jacksonian approach now to the rent moratorium.
Yeah.
It's just flat out criminal.
Well, I tell you what's going on with that rent moratorium. Cori Bush, she's one of the lesser known members of the squad.
Well, she's one of the newer members. She's right. Just in.
Oh yeah. But America got an introduction to her this week, and I don't think she made a good first impression. I'll just put it to you that way.
Well, she came off as kind of self-centered.
She's probably nuts. I don't want to refer you to the work of Charles Murray and Richard Herrnstein, but I don't know, man. I would like to see her SAT scores. I'll just put it to you that way.
Does she have them?
Well, she got a nursing degree.
Well, okay, but I was just thinking she may have been the sort of person who goes to a school that will accept the ACTs rather than the SATs.
Well, I don't know. I was just watching her, and I was thinking to myself, does she even understand what she's saying? Because it's a lot of rhetoric, right?
Diana, you're starting to burble again. Let's give it one more try.
All right. Here we go. Bye.
Okay.
I'm sorry, folks. Yeah. But we hope to get her back.
Yes, because
by the end of our next segment.
We do. We will need her back at the end of our talking about Cori Bush. Because at that point, it has to do with financing.
Yeah.
You know, she is wanting to cut off the funding for your police force, but she wants us to be able to pay for her private security. And whether it's as taxpayers or whether it's campaign contributions, she thinks that we should take care of her you know, her safety, but she has no obligation to provide for the safety of the citizenry.
She's from St. Louis, which is routinely among the most violent cities in America. I mean, I know that St. Louis was a top five city as recently as 2017 in terms of its per capita homicide rate. I don't know what it is now, but it's pretty bad. The homicide rate there. And, you know, and what she's doing with this eviction moratorium, which is, of course, a rent moratorium, really is what it means. If you can't, you know, there's some people that if you can't evict them, they're never going to pay you rent. And, you know, it is just lawlessness. I mean, this goes directly to the rule of law. It has to do with the enforcement of contracts. You sign a paper agreeing to pay a certain amount a month.
And the fact that contract law is enshrined, you know, that the contracts are enshrined in the Constitution. I mean, this is just absolute nonsense.
Well, it was Richard Weaver who said that a private property is the last metaphysical right. Mm-hmm. Okay, that which is to say that if all else fails, as long as you own private property, so the infringement of property rights, which is what this is about, goes to the very heart of not only of our Constitution, but the entire system of law, the Anglo-American common law tradition. Property trumps everything else.
Yeah, well, but look,
well,
here's
life and liberty do come first, but
yes, but the whole point of life and liberty, right? What are you doing with your liberty? What is your life if it's not, you know, if you're working? You're free to work and make money so that you can buy property. And your property, a man's home is his castle.
Well, but I don't rent out the castle I live in. But I have rented out the castle I used to live in. Yeah. When I moved from Nashville to California, I kept my house in Nashville as an investment for a while, and I rented it out to renters. And you know what? If the renter hadn't paid, I still would have been on the hook for the mortgage.
Indeed.
And so basically what this is the inner party taking a whack at the kulaks.
Yeah, it just disturbs me, the class warfare rhetoric in here. The idea that landlords constitute a class of capitalists, a greedy capitalists, and stuff like this.
That's what was a capital investment.
You know, one of the things that the landlord is the oppressor and the tenant is a victim. Well, let me tell you something, John. I'm a tenant. My daughter is a landlord. Let me repeat. I'm a tenant. I pay rent where I live. My daughter is a landlord because when she and her husband bought their current house, they were in a situation where they were able to keep the house they moved out of.
Just exactly.
It's a townhouse.
Just exactly as what I did.
And they have been able to get a good tenant in there. And if you've ever known anything about rental property, you know that if you can get a good tenant, you're great.
Oh, yeah. You're golden.
But the bad tenants.
I've also had a bad tenant in another property. But that's the point is that we understand this because we engage in capitalism.
We love capitalism.
But we also just love working for a living. And part of our working for a living is running our websites. And we don't have a lot of advertising on our websites because we rely on support from our readers.
Right, right.
For example, you have this yellow button.
The yellow button, folks. If you go to theothermccain.com, near the top in the center column, You will see the yellow button with the word donate on there. If you will click the yellow button, it'll take you to my PayPal account where you can contribute to the support of the blog and the podcast. And most important of all, of course, to make my wife happy. And that's the job number one for me, is making my wife happy. And she likes it when I have this stream of revenue coming in. And it's been a good week. I rattled the tip jar a little bit last week, getting ready for a trip to Florida, which I had planned to make this month, but I have postponed it to September because I got the first dose of the vaccine, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get the second dose before Labor Day, and then I'll be fully vaccinated.
Two weeks after that, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, I can say, look, here's my card, mm-hmm. and I can, you know, anybody that wants to.
They won't care in Florida anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm going to the free state, and I actually do hope to meet Governor DeSantis, who, by the way, God, Have you read his resume?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, he's the youngest governor in America.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, he's the youngest governor in America. He graduated from Yale, got a law degree from Harvard. Did I mention that he was a varsity baseball player, that when he was a kid, he went to the Little League World Series playing baseball. He played baseball for Yale.
That's scary. The last varsity baseball player we had from Yale. Never mind.
Yeah. You know exactly what. But anyways, this guy's Yale, Harvard Law, then became a Navy SEAL. He was posted with the Navy SEAL team to Iraq or Afghanistan. I forget which one it was. But this guy's biography, it's like, how can we not elect him president? You know? I mean, the guy is just...
Well,
you know,
Dan Crenshaw might run.
Yeah, but I mean, well, anyways. But this, I mean, but anyways, everyone on the left is gunning for the governor of Florida right now. But anyways, the idea is please contribute by clicking the yellow button. Meanwhile, over at my good friend John Hogue's site, hoguewash.com.
Well, you see, I run a higher end blog, even though I probably have vastly fewer readers than Stacy. And my tip jar does not rattle because it's salted with $10 bills to give folks a hint. Oh, just folded money, please. Although I do take gold coins. Kruger Rands and Old Double Eagles work just fine as well. But you click on that icon, go off to PayPal for my account, support the blog, or shop at the Hogue Wash store. There's a link in the sidebar to that. Buy all sorts of interesting junk that's branded in ways related to the blog. Or you can use the Amazon shopping links that you'll find both at Hogue Wash and the other McCain. And we get a cut of the action when you do that. That's a nice program Amazon has called the Affiliates Program that helps support bloggers. A good thing that Jeff Bezos does. But regardless of how you choose to support us, please remember the five most important words in the English language.
Hit the freaking tip jar.
Indeed.
Thank you very much, Diana.
Meanwhile,
back at the ranch.
No, back at the physics lesson.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have a physics lesson. And when I was a small child, we lived in a house that my parents had built. And literally, my parents had built the house. And, you know, this is in the late 40s, early 50s. We didn't have air conditioning. We had screens in the windows and a really great attic fan that kept the place cool, right? I really like sleeping under the wind of an attic fan more than air conditioning in a lot of instances. But anyway, the gaps in the screens were small enough to keep flies and mosquitoes out of the house. And it would have been foolish to replace those screens with something like chain link fence and then think that we're going to keep the flies out. Now think this through. A fly's wingspan is like a half inch. and the squares in most chain link fences are like a couple of inches. So the fly just comes right on through. Okay. Now the gap between fibers in a typical cloth face mask is on the order of about 2 to 3 micrometers. Now, micrometer is a millionth of a meter or a thousandth of a millimeter. So it's a human hair is roughly twice that thick. Okay, so it's pretty fine. But the coronavirus is on the order of 0.3 micrometers. I'll let the listeners do the math as an exercise.
Unless it's feeling really clumsy that day, it's not going to get caught by the mask.
Well, what will get caught by the mask is snot when you sneeze. And yes. So snot that might have stuff embedded in it will certainly not be spread.
But there and festers.
But there it is. But anyway, math is hard. Logic is harder. And facts are stubborn. Yesterday, by the way, his fraudulency, Joe Biden, said that 350 million Americans have now been vaccinated against the Wuhan virus. And I have a snapshot up at Hogwash that I took just after noon yesterday that shows the population of the United States is 332,599,780, and it's just beginning to click over to one. He's also encouraging Americans who haven't had their vaccine shot, I guess from the negative 17.4 million, to get their shots. I was going to post something about vaccination records being processed by people who counted votes last November, but actually what I did is I put a tweet up on Twitter that said, breaking, Joe Biden has announced that all 350 million of the voters who voted for him have received vaccinations of the Dominion vaccine. So anyway, that's what we're doing there.
Yeah. He can't remember how many Americans there are. He can't remember the name of the governor of Florida. There's a lot of things that Joe Biden can't seem to remember lately.
Well, actually,
like keeping his hands off small children.
Well, are you pondering what I'm pondering for today? Actually, said basically that he was probably so confused by Florida's excellent medical performance during the pandemic that he thought that he was talking about the doctor. Stacy must not be watching enough British television to get it.
The doctor. Okay. I'm
unlikely to ever forget that. Okay.
Okay. Meanwhile,
I had a post this week called Sopranos Kill Count. And it was just what happened was that I had been working on something else and then got tired. And so I laid down for a nap. And what I've taken to doing lately when I lay down to go to sleep is I take my phone with me and I watch YouTube videos. And in this case, I happened upon a YouTube compilation that had every time somebody got whacked on The Sopranos, as they called it, and in 9 minutes, 62 murders in 9 minutes. And which is kind of like a slow weekend in Chicago, if you think about it nowadays, but that was that. That's our crime story there. But remember, murder is wrong and criminals, gangs are bad, except when the murdering gangsters are popular entertainment. Meanwhile,
back in Brooklyn.
Yes, that's what we call a segue. If you folks are taking notes for the broadcast professional training at home, There was an execution-style murder in Brooklyn this week, in which a surveillance video showed a 42-year-old woman talking to friends outside an apartment building in the Crown Heights neighborhood of Brooklyn, when another woman drives up, parks her car, turns on the flashers, gets out of the car, walks up and shoots her in the back of the head, then turns around, gets back in the car and drives away.
Of course, something like that can't happen in New York because they have such strict gun laws.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but I everyone who watched this, and by the way, they were showing this on Fox News the other day, but it was apparently a friend of the shot woman.
Well, at least an acquaintance. They don't seem to be very friendly.
Well, yeah, friend. And obviously, that's not a very friendly thing to do, to shoot somebody. But it was like watching a mob hit, except it was two women, you know, and it was just like, you know, things are bad, you know. But it's just strange that, you know, we are being told that, you know, the greatest threat, right? You know, the greatest threat in the country, according to Joe Biden, is white supremacy. Well, I was watching that video and white supremacy didn't have anything to do with it. Okay. This is, you know, but they don't want us to focus on what's actually happening out there.
Well, no, because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Mm. Yeah. And the narrative trumps everything. But speaking of women,
yes,
being murdered.
Yes.
Okay, here we are finally at our violence against women update. Uh-huh. Now I had told you that I had a post called "The Dangerous Clichés of Empowerment." And someone in there, in the comments on there, and I do pay attention to the comments from time to time, if someone used the phrase rationalization hamster. Now, this is a phrase that comes from the manosphere, as it's called, the men rights activists out there. Talk about the rationalization hamster is the way some women can justify doing whatever they want to do, no matter how harmful it might be, including, you know, harmful to their own interests, no matter how dangerous or stupid it may be, they can rationalize this one way or the other. We talked about this, you know, in some of the ways that they justify doing something that is predictably going to lead to bad consequences. And speaking of which, let's see. Aha. It's now time to talk about Joanna Pekka of St. Petersburg, Florida. Yes, Florida woman is back in the news. Among other stupid things that Joanna Pekka did, she got tattoos on her breast, like her cleavage, okay? Not, you know, and you think, oh, she got tattoos on her breast. And usually when somebody say, you think of something under the rib cage, you know, kind of like down on the side.
No, this picture you got shows that she's got tattoos right on top, in front and center.
Of her remarkably abundant cleavage. I just enjoy that phrase. Remarkably abundant cleavage. Anyways, so Joanna Pekka, we could cite this tattoo as evidence of her defective judgment, but that wasn't all.
Don't get me involved in the whole subject of it. I generally don't like tattoos on anybody, male or female. It's occasionally, it can be done and makes sense, but
all of my sons have tattoos, and I am 100% anti-tattoo. I have been against tattoos ever since I recall standing in the post office as a boy. You know, we went to my mother or whatever. We went to the post office, and I'm looking at the at the Hilton, you know, they used to have the FBI wanted posters. Right. The most wanted posters were up there. And it said identifying scars and tattoos. And I thought, oh, wow. He might get away with it, but he's got a tattoo. So they're going to be able to identify him by the tattoo. So don't get any tattoos, just in case you ever need to give the FBI a slip.
Well, I kind of got put off on tattoos because as a young man, recent immigrants from Central Europe who had tattoos on their wrists.
So there are reasons not to get tattoos. But anyways, she did. And that wasn't the stupidest thing she did. The stupidest thing she did was get involved with a Benjamin Robert Williams, 38, a.k.a. Bambi Williams. Bambi. Yeah, I don't know why
like
they.
Bambi to me. Somehow.
You're breaking up again, Diane.
Oh, come on.
Why don't you pop back in one more time?
All right. Send me the invite again.
I'll do it. Just
okay. Now I told you that Williams is 38 years old. Okay, he has an arrest record in Pinellas County, Florida, that spans about 20 years. In other words, from the time he was an adult, he was perpetrating crime. He has been arrested in cases ranging from grand theft auto, possession of drugs with intent to sell, robbery, and fleeing police. He was most recently arrested on charges of being a felon in possession of firearm in January 2020. Now that is a law that provides for up to 15 years in prison. Well, for some reason, the state attorney's office did not seek a prosecution. But as, by the way, Dana Pico has pointed out, this is the most open and shut kind of case possible. Is he a felon? Yes. Okay. Was he in possession of a firearm? Okay, you catch him with a firearm, he's guilty, you go to prison.
The only catch is you have to prove the guy knew he was a felon. But
Come on, man. Well, anyways, in 2007, Williams was arrested on charges of principal to attempted murder and strong arm robbery, but those charges were dismissed.
Let me just interrupt there on this proof of that you have to know you're a felon. Remember, Brett Kimberlin, our acquaintance, got nailed for being a felon in possession of explosives. And he's trying now to use that dodged, claiming, well, I didn't know I was a felon. and he's right now trying to get his some of his Speedway bombing convictions overturned. So, well, you know, it's an interesting twist that's just happened in the law.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Yeah. Joanna began dating Bambi Williams, Benjamin Robert Bambi Williams, who has been in trouble with the law ever since he turned an adult. I assume that he also had a juvenile record, but we continue. So, let's see here. Williams and Pekka were involved in a romantic relationship and had a baby together. Pekka was holding the infant when Williams shot her multiple times in the face. Her older child was sitting in the back seat, the four-year-old, during the shooting. A warrant has been issued for blah, 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 blah. Pekka was found dead in the car, and the children did not suffer any physical injuries at the time, blah, blah, blah. She actually had the child in her lap, the infant in her lap, and he shot her in the face. He had lured her to a cemetery, quote, He called her and asked her to meet him at that location because she was bringing the children to him to see. Once they got to that location, that's when he decided to gun her down.
I think he decided before he lured, quote unquote, lured her to that location.
Yeah,
one would suspect.
But this is the violence against women that feminists never mention for some reason because it doesn't fit the narrative. And you would have to see the mugshots of these two to understand why feminists aren't going to call attention to crime motivated by misogyny.
Well, you've got to remember that at its very founding back in the late 50s, early 60s, basically what you have is a warmed over Marxism for upper class, bored middle upper class housewives.
Neurotics.
Basically, and you know, so it's, you know, no, it's their narrative is not the kind of narrative that fits these people.
But don't date felons. How hard is that? Okay. How hard is it to say to your daughter, hey, he's a criminal. Leave him alone, you know?
Well, on the other hand, it works the other way. Mm. I mean, I didn't have a daughter, but I have a son. And one of the things that you tell your son is you don't date crazy.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Because crazy people are dangerous.
Crazy people are dangerous.
And you had a post actually titled that this week.
Yes, and it features a mugshot of Austin William Lanz. I believe he was 27 years old. 27, 28. 27,
according to
the
story.
Austin William Lanz is from Cobb County, Georgia. It's my old stomping grounds down there.
Suburban Atlanta.
Yeah, he's from Ackworth. Which I a community I know well. Anyways, he was recorded on video. He had spent months harassing a neighbor and the neighbor's fiance, and he was spotted on video, surveillance video, after he broke into the house there. And he was charged with burglary and trespassing, but a judge, and while he was being processed into the county jail, he attacked two sheriff's deputies, injuring one of them fairly severely. It took multiple deputies just to get the cuffs on him and get him in the jail. So he was charged with attacking, a police officer, which is a serious crime. But a judge reduced his bond in May to $30,000 and released him, imposing some conditions, including that, A, he not take illegal drugs, that he, B, undergo a mental health evaluation, and that he should not possess a firearm. Okay, this psycho, okay, who's walking around claiming that he's, he's harassing the neighbors, claims that he's being surveilled by airplanes, that they're, typical psycho stuff. Schizo stuff. It's schizophrenic, probably. Okay. And yet, they reduced his bond and turned him loose in April. Well, last week, he showed up outside the Pentagon, okay, where he murdered a Pentagon police officer, got off the bus, immediately stabbed the officer, took the officer's gun, and killed himself. Officer George Gonzalez was killed in the line of duty. He was an Air Force veteran. He got off the bus and immediately, without provocation, attacked Gonzalez with a knife, severely wounding him. A struggle ensued. Lanz mortally wounded Gonzalez, then shot himself with Gonzalez's gun. Why can't we keep these people locked up?
I don't.
Crazy people are dangerous.
Well, yeah, and, you know, if the judge, instead of told him you got to go get an evaluation, had sent him to the hospital for a 72-hour psych hold, you know, part of this has to do with just the some of the people in the justice system not wanting to do their jobs.
Well, and yes. And, you know, it's like, you know, we have got this is happening everywhere now, that you're seeing people arrested for murder after they have been charged with serious felonies and for some reason turned loose by the system. And the people in the system have to get with the program.
Yep. Yes, meanwhile, we have
speaking of the program.
It's just about over.
Yes. And so that means you Georgia peaches down there.
Aww.
Yes. Diana will be joining us again next week at the usual time, 7 p.m. on Saturday night. Don't miss it. And we'll see you next week.
Good night, Stacy. Good night, Stacy. Good night, Diana. We'll catch you next week, folks. I'm gonna go get